hear my people plead. Oh Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
God bless you, saints. I think we might. If there's anything, we can just do it a cappella. It's okay. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me my strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain. Yes, it does. And it flows to the lowest valley. I know it's the blood that gives me my strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It soothes my doubt and calms my fears, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me my strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain. Yes, it does. And it flows to the lowest valley. I know it's the blood that gives me my strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Sing it, church. It reaches to the highest mountain. Yes, it does. And it flows to the lowest valley. I know it's the blood that gives me my strength from day to day. It will never lose its power.
Amen. Let's all stand. The power in the blood. Amen. The healing power. He's changed blood types, hasn't he? Amen. I remember when I, in 2007, when I was going through osteomyelitis, they drew blood on me and it had that much white triglycerides in it. They told me that was fat in the blood. And I came here and got prayed for and they drew blood last 2-3 weeks, but there's absolutely never been any more in there. Amen. Never. That's been since 2007. Praise the Lord. Amen. We'll change over the service if Brother Aaron comes. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy. To see you.
Amen. We can see him everywhere we look, if we look for him. Amen. Y'all can be seated for a minute. I'm just going to use this one. No, I don't know what key. I've had a song on my heart today, and we were riding in the car, and I found out that this is one of Levi's favorite songs. And I don't know what key it is, but that ain't never stopped me before, so. But y'all just pray with me. If you know it, y'all can help me sing it, but I'm so glad there's a land beyond this. And I don't believe it'll be very long that we're going to be leaving this mortal realm and going to what God prepared for us. He said he wouldn't leave us comfortless. But he said he was going away to prepare a place for us. He said that where I am, you may be also. So it fills us with joy every day to realize that we have a place beyond this realm. Somewhere beyond the grave, there is a land that Jesus went to prepare by his own hand. And for the saved by grace, there is a resting place. And in a few more days, it will be mine. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Some call it dreaming. Well, let me dream on. Some call it paradise. Somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Someone said you can't go back home again. Things will never be as good as they've been. But I have good news for you. When heaven comes into view, one glimpse then you will know the best is yet to come. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, well let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, well let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand this evening. We're going to look into the scripture tonight. We're going to look into Psalms chapter 34. And before we go to the scripture tonight, Brother Luis is preaching for Brother Martin. And I don't know what Brother Martin's last name is, do you? Brother Martin from Varela in Lawrenceville. So Brother Luis, he sent us a message earlier, told us that he would be down there. So we want to remember Brother Luis and Brother Martin and the church down there. And before we go to the scripture, I got a the family that Richard and I went to school with, family, some of the kids. And one of the daughters is named Sunshine, and she graduated with Richard, and she graduated early in school. She's my age, but she graduated with Richard. But Sunshine's got a little boy named Nahum, and I just want to remember this family. Sunshine's husband has brain cancer, and then a week or so ago, I'm not exactly when, she had a miscarriage. The day after that, Nahum had a tree limb fall on him, and he's in the hospital right now. He has shearing of the brain, and they can't do a lot of testing on him because every time they try to do a lot of testing on him, he becomes unstable. And so, y'all just remember them. And like Brother Bram always told us, we need to enter in for people. And so, just remember them. And as a brother from Nepal, he got in touch with me through Facebook, and I don't know how many times he's texted me and tried to call me through Facebook Messenger and everything, but I put him on YouTube of our church, and man, I don't know how many times I've gotten. He just continually calls and texts and everything, but he's all excited. But I put him on the YouTube channel. Next thing you know, he's texting me back, said, "Who is Wade Dale?" So I was explaining, because, you know, on YouTube, they don't tell you everything. It's not like the church website. But anyway, he was all excited about Brother Wade's sermon the other Wednesday night. So there's two sisters down there. One of them has had a stroke, and the other one has cancer, and she's facing operations. And he said, he asked for us to pray. So y'all just remember those two sisters. And And then a friend of mine, it was a former coworker, he named Daryl, he passed away several years ago. And still really close to his family. His family means a lot to me. And his daughter, Summer, just went through her second back surgery. She's only like 22 or 23. So she has a lot of issues. But you know what? God's still greater than all our problems. Any problem that we face, anybody faces, God's bigger than any mountain that we can or cannot see, as the song says. So, you know, I look sometimes, I put people in my Bible. I write little notes, and I've stuck notepads and little post-it notes in my Bible. And, you know, I look back and I see people's names that, you know, God puts them on your heart, and it doesn't make anything out of me, but all glory goes to Him. But, you know, I've wrote people and I've put them in my Bible, and I look back and just like a lady that I went to high school with, and, you know, it looked really bad for her. She had cancer, and they'd look really bad, but, you know, she come through that surgery and she's doing real well now. And you know, the doctors were really surprised at how well everything went. And, you know, it's just that, you know, it's the power of prayer, and you have faith to believe, and God can do things. And you just, sometimes you look back and you thank God all the times, you know, that you've seen little notes that you've prayed for people, and all of a sudden God's worked things out, and God's touched people, and you know, all these different things that you look back, and, you know, sometimes you think, you know, the devil, he always tries to drag you down, always try to put something in your way. You know, he always wants to fight you. But, you know, you go back and you start looking at all the things that God's done, and he's like, well, what about this? And what about this? And what about that? And, you know, I tell you what, you can't think about the goodness of God and see the miracles that God's done and not have something to be joyous about and not just change your atmosphere and your whole attitude about things. And, you know, the devil, he'll come at you, and that's his job, and he's a good adversary. But he may oppose us, but he won't win. But I just want to thank the Lord for that. So y'all just remember them as we pray tonight. And, you know, we know that God has all things in control.
Amen.
Amen. So let's just all bow our heads. I know there's many needs. And I know they've already been spoken over by uplifted hand and everything, but we just want to continue to remember them. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just thank so thankful tonight, Lord, to be in your house, Lord, that we can come, Lord, gather around your word, Lord, together with those of like precious faith. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you just come tonight and help us, Lord, get out of the way, Lord. Lord, just get into one mind and one accord with you, Lord, that you can come speak to us. Lord, we just pray that you just break the bread of life to us tonight as we speak in the word. Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive, Father. Lord, for each need, Lord, these ones that have been mentioned, Father, Lord, how they've been on our hearts this week, Lord. Lord, but we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we know that you touch each one of these, Lord. Lord, because you said that if we would ask, Lord, we could receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto us, Lord. Seek, and we shall find. Lord, so we just commit it to you, Lord. We just put it in your hands, Lord, because we know that's the best place to put it. Casting all our cares upon you, Lord, you care for us. And Father, we just pray tonight you be with us. Lord, be with Brother Luis as he's ministering there for Brother Martin, Lord, and all of the bride around the world, Lord, the fivefold ministry, Lord, as they carry in the gospel. Lord, I pray that you be with each one, strengthen them in a special way. Lord, we commit all things to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalms 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivered them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. And just want to take the title, Taste and See That the Lord is Good. And y'all pray for me tonight, but it's going to be a little bit different maybe tonight. Because I want to talk about something that I like to do. I know it's going to be a little shocking to y'all, but I won't talk about eating. That's a little shocking, maybe to some of you, but I didn't just get to looking like this just haphazardly. There's a little takes work, takes dedication, it takes a little, you know. Richard used to tell everybody when I was growing up, they'd always ask why he was so skinny and I was so big, because Richard said before I could get seconds, Aaron was having 34ths. I said, "Well, I'm sorry, you're slow." He said, "He just pushed me out of the way." But but you know, I want to talk about this right here, because you know David is here, and you know he's reading about the things that he has been through in his life. And you know, he said, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears." And he said, "This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him from all of his troubles." And you know, he's talking about all the things that he had been through, and you know, the things that he had experienced in his life. And he stood there and he said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." You know, if you've ever been through, if you've ever had an experience of something, you know, you just can't wait to share it with somebody else. You know, you just, it's an experience that, you know, you can talk to people about it, but you know what? You want people to experience it yourself. You know, as Wade always talks about German chocolate cake. Well, you know, I mean, some people like German chocolate cake, but some people don't. But you know, there's some people, you know, you can talk to people about it and you can show it to them. But you know what? Some people, they don't know unless they experience that, how good it is. You know, sometimes people, you sit there and you know, it's you know, when they start eating, like Brother Dale likes to do sometimes, you know, he gets in there and you know, he'll tell you about how terrible the banana pudding is, that y'all don't want any of it. And he keeps saying, "This is not good. This is not, y'all don't want any of this." See, using a little of that reverse psychology, because you know, but you know, in times, you know, people, they begin to express these things, but you know what? They want you to experience that too. You know, lots of times, you know, when somebody has something that's good, you know, and as the story goes, you know, they put a craving on you. Why? Because it's what they've experienced, what they're having, you know, it looks good to them. You know, somebody will come by and they'll have something that you want. And you know, it's like, "Boy, that looks good," or "Boy, that smells good." Well, you know, the thing is if you don't experience, you know, because they can tell you how good it is, but you've got to experience that for yourself. You know, Brother Branham said, for us as Christians, he said, how can we reach out to those in the world? How can we reach out to our brothers and sisters? He said it was very, very simple. He said, all you got to do is be salty. See, another reference to food. Y'all might not have caught that, but it goes back to eating, but to have an experience. And David said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I want you to have an experience like I've had. Can you talk about the same experience that I've had? God has come and all these great things that happened to me, when you come to, and you see the things that David has come through, and if it wasn't for the grace of God, David would have never made it. But you know what? David was anointed. God came to David and anointed him to be king, and all the other problems that he had, all the faults and failures that David had, no matter what took place, you know what? God still had him to be king. And he still had a place and he still had a purpose in his life, no matter what David done. And God had a place to put him. And even, you know, even though he had faults and failures, and yet God still said he was a man after his own heart. You know, and so many times we can look at our lives and, you know, we can look at things and say, well, you know, we can always see, look in the mirror and we always see our faults and our failures, and everybody else can always see our faults and failures and our issues and our problems. Well, you know what? Everybody has those things. But the problem is, you know, as Brother Randall always talked about, you know, a brother, a man that is really a Holy Ghost filled man, you know, if he falls down, he doesn't stay down. You know, the thing is the grace of God is there for you to get back up and to continue to run. You know, it's not for him that willeth or him that runneth, but he said it's God that shows mercy to a person to run this race. You can't do it on your own. You're not ever going to be worthy enough to do it, but you know what? But somebody's made you worthy to do this. And you know, you've had there's an experience to have. You can fall, but you know, do you understand that God's grace is there for you to get up and keep going? Not to go the same route you've been going, not to be the same person that you've been, but to be a new person in Christ Jesus, to be a new man, a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what God wants us to be. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Many people, you know, they just go through the same thing and they experience the same things. Well, you know, it's time to have a different experience. Have a different change. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about was, you know, we've had in this pandemic, this all this time that we've been going through and how everything's messed up. And you know, one of the things that we see in this pandemic, having this virus, you know, it changes people's taste. You know, it affects people. You know, that's one of the things that changes is people are not able to taste. And you know, and we see how today in the hour that we live, you know, people have always, we've had so many people that have walked in the Word, and they've walked in things, and you know, and they go through the same thing, and you know, it goes through it's the same process. But then all of a sudden, you know, there's something that takes place. Well, you know, some people, what has happened is, you know, they're just going along with the flow. Or they're just having a mental episode. You know, it's just all in their mind. Because, you know, you can't live this life. You can't be a Christian and live a Christian life by having just a mental faith. It just can't be, you know, I try to live this in myself, in my humanity. I'll never advance in this Christian walk. I'll never overcome just being as a normal person. But you know, many people, that's the way they've done. And it's like, why? Well, because, you know, they've had some kind of experience at some point in their life. You know, something's happened. You know, they've had some kind of emotion or something that's taken place. But you know what? That's not going to carry you all the way. Because, you know, there's somewhere along the way, people have gotten off track. People have gotten where they've gotten twisted in the Word. Something has happened to them and they've gotten away from it. But you know, the thing is you've got to come back to, because there's only one person that's going to lead you, and that's Jesus Christ. And you know, and if Jesus Christ, you've always got to come back to the Word. It's the Word that brings you through. You know, as here in the message, Speak to the Rock, Brother Man was is speaking of Moses. And the children of Israel in their journey. And you know, God put them on this journey. And you know, He was going to feed them on this journey. And you know, He was going to take care of them all the way through their journey. You know, they didn't have to worry about nothing.
Right.
Nope. You know, I mean, they had somebody to lead them. They had a cloud by day. They had a pillar of fire by night. All they had to do is line up. By the word that was given by the prophet. That's all they had to do.
Exactly right.
When they were down there in Egypt and they were crying out for a deliverer, And God told, and he found, went and talked to Moses, and he told Moses, he said, I've heard the cry of my people by the reason of their taskmasters. And he told him, I said, now it's you to go down there and deliver them. But I'm going to give you the words. See, Moses was inefficient in himself to do it, but God called him and told him, listen, I'm going to give you the signs, and I'm going to give you Aaron to be your mouthpiece, that you're going to speak, and Aaron will speak for you. And everything that you have need of, no matter what, all you got to do is trust in me. And so when, and everything that they had to do, all they had to do was follow exactly what Moses told them to do. When it came to the day as the Passover came, when they got ready to leave, you know, they had to take the lamb, they had to roast it with fire, the whole thing had to be roasted together, had to eat unleavened bread, they had to have their shoes, they had to have their staff, everything had to be done. They had to slay the lamb, put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, and they had to get ready to go. But you know what? Moses told them everything that they had to do. They didn't have to think for themselves, just follow the word. That's all they had to do. And when they got out, you know, and as soon as they got out of Egypt, the first thing they had to do was complain. They got their mind on everything else except for what the prophet told them. They didn't believe. And you know, so here it is. He says, now that he said, yes, sir, I can hear Moses say, now the children of Israel run up and say, what are we going to do for bread now? We ain't got any bread. God will take care of that. He said, as long as you come out, step on the promise, God will take care of the rest of it. Well, how are we going to eat? God will take care of that. Well, we're just a little bit hungry. You need a little fasting. Laid down that night, went to sleep. When he got up the next morning, there was manna all over the ground, bread laying everywhere. That's the way God does it. See, so they went out, picked it up, said it tasted like, said, oh my, this tastes just like honey. He said, oh my, that bread never ceased to fall as long as they was in the journey. Every night there was a new supply. You could just gather enough there to last one day. The next day you had to come gather new. What a type of the Holy Ghost in our journey. Them in the natural, when he come out and separate from the world, God supplies our good times. He supplies our bread. He supplies everything that we have need of. Amen. He told them in the natural he would do it. He would do it. He will do it for us in the spiritual. And it goes on and talks about how the bread, they could only gather each night. They could only gather the bread for that day because they had to go out and gather more. And he said it would get wiggle tails in it. It would rot because they couldn't hold anything over. They had to gather new because, you know, it was a new gathering. It was a new feasting every single day. And so, you know, he says, and so, and he goes on, he's talking about Pentecost having wiggle tails in it and everything. He says, when he goes, he says, your experience are getting old, something you had 20 years ago. What are you right now? What does it mean now? He said, I'm not yelling at you, but I feel good. Look, that's right. He said, you've got to get a new baptism every day. Just keep going. Every day. No, any limit to it. You try to say, well, now look, a month ago, I had a wonderful experience. He said, that testimony don't work. What about it now? Right now, a new one right now. God rained it every night. Amen. So when it comes, see, it's a happening every single day. We've got to go and gather the manna that God, which is the Holy Ghost. So you got to feed on the word every single day. And God has something for you every single day. And you know, they had to go out and they had to gather that manna every single day. And you know, and his blessings are new every day, every morning. He has something for you. And you know, the thing is we don't make time for him, because if we don't make time for him, then you know what? We miss out on God's blessings. We miss out on what God has for us because we get so tied up with all the other things in the world and they're more important. You know, all these things that are going to pass away, all this cannon fodder and all these other things that people want to struggle and strive over, when we forget to put God first.
Right.
When he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. He said, when the Holy Ghost come on the day of Pentecost, they had to wait 10 days, that's right, for it to come, but never had to wait from then on.
Right.
When the heart was ready, the Holy Ghost was there. He said, how long will it be? We'll find out. He said, now Moses said to Aaron, you go out and get several omers full of this and bring it in and put it behind the holies of holies. Now it won't spoil back there. And then all down through the generations, and every time that a man, when he was in the priesthood, he had a right to come into the priesthood, to come in behind by the holy place and get a mouthful of that manna, he'd taste it. Now what is this? This is just like our fathers received when they started a journey. That tastes good. That's good. Taste it. Every priest coming in could go back there and these omers and get a handful of it and get them a great big mouthful and he'd chew it. Oh, how good it was. What a privileged character he was to eat some of the original manna. And that's exactly the type of the Holy Ghost. When the church started its journey 2,000 years ago on our journey to the millennium, hallelujah, God promised he'd supply our needs. And the first time when they come over and receive the Holy Ghost, the power of God began to fall upon them. They lost all their bashfulness and all their shamefulness. They run out in the streets and began to dance in the Spirit and carry on. And he said then on the day of Pentecost, and they were all staggering around, the manna was falling down out of heaven, our manna. All right, they said, how long is this going to last, brother? Peter said, it's for you and for your children, to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God shall call, shall have, glory to God. Brother, every man or woman that comes into this divine Holy Ghost priesthood has a right to get a genuine heart full of the original baptism of the Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost. The same signs, the same power, the same demonstration, the same feeling, the same action. Glory, not something like it, the original. You know, not just some cheap imitation, but the original. The Lord said, I'm going to store up a whole lot of this because there's going to be many generations. So every time one comes in, I'm going to give him a great big heart full of it. Amen. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Yes, sir. Look, Peter just lost all his dignity and everything, jumped up on a soapbox and began to preach. My soapbox preacher. Yes, sir. What was it? He had the Holy Ghost. He was eating on that godly manna. And today it's the same thing. We're in the journey in the spiritual, just like the journey was in the natural, and it fell for them. Every time they wanted it, fell. It falls for us the same way. God's got a whole big heaven full of it. That's right. It's for you and to your children, them that's Owensburg, Kentucky. That's where he was at preaching. And as many as the Lord our God shall call, it's for every one of them. Many as wants it, God's got it for them. Many here on their journey. I want you to see another thing. It tastes like honey. Is that right?
Amen.
Honey, the poet said, I believe David said, it tastes like honey in the rock. And he said, the Lord is good. It tastes like honey in the rock. Did you ever taste it? I seen old baptized Holy Ghost things just sitting so paralyzed by the power of God. They couldn't move. They just go, just God blessing their souls and they couldn't do nothing else. Licking their lips. Say amen. And then he goes on talking about David being the shepherd and putting the honey on the rock, and they begin to lick on the rock. And they've eaten that honey because that's what was so good, was the honey was so good, because, you know, all they wanted to eat was the honey because the honey was good. But the thing is when they put it on the rock, what they were needing was in the honey, but they wanted to eat the honey because the honey was good. But this is for you and for them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then when they had this manna, the manna falls just like it was back then. They had the manna that fell for them every single day. And they had to go out there and get it. But you know what? There was a time when they went out there and when the manna started to fall, God told Moses to go out there and get it and set it up in a special place. It was going to be in the Holy of Holies. And for them to store it up. And he said every time the man would come into the priesthood, he could go in there and eat that same original manna. Now it rotted every single day. Then they had to go out there and they had to gather it. They had to go and pick it up every day. And you know, then it rotted, but they had to go out there and every single day. But there was a time where there was a place for a man to go to, and that he could always have the manna. Brother Bram said that you know, and the time, if they didn't gather enough during the day, you know, they run out. Hey, they got hungry till the next time manna fell. But you know, he said, now is a place, he said, you can come day, night, whenever time you want to. There's a place that you can come to and gather in and take a part of this manna that God has stored up. Yep. And you can imagine this man that had entered into the priesthood, and what a great thing it was, you know, because here's this man, you know, our forefathers ate manna in the wilderness. God rained bread down that tasted like honey. And it was so marvelous that every single day we could go out there and pick up this bread, and it was right there. And all we had to do was pick it up and gather and eat. And you know, it was so great. And you know, well, we've heard all these stories, but you know, there come a time when he was able to go in there, and you know, he could walk behind that veil and he could actually partake of that manna. And it was the same thing, not just reading about something or hearing about something, but he had the opportunity to experience the same thing that they did, to go behind the veil and taste that heavenly manna that wasn't just words on a page, or it just wasn't somebody's idea, just something that somebody tried to paint, but it was an opportunity for him to experience that. And it's the same thing, as he said, we received it, the same thing on our journey, but we have, as being made kings and priests, that we have the opportunity to go behind the veil, that we can go behind the veil and eat of the manna. We, you know, because, you know, the veil was there, and you know, Aaron and the high priest could only go in there at a certain time of year when they brought in the blood and went in. And you know, then Brother Brown said that he could go in and he could partake of that manna that was before the ark. And when he walked into the Shekinah glory, there he was able to partake of it. But in our day, you know, when Jesus came, He was the offering that was made, that the veil was rent. Yep, yeah. And when the veil was rent in two, then he said the access was made that you and I can go in at any time, day or night, and walk into the holy of place. And the scripture tells us now, he said, you know, it's not that we have to worry about being so correct as the Old Testament. You know, they were so worried, but he said, come boldly before the throne of grace. So, you know, there's a way that's been made that you can come boldly before it. That you can go in there, and you know what? There is all of the manna that you could eat. He said the heavens was full of it. And he said, you know, they put those omers of the manna in before the ark. And you know, he said no matter how much they ate, it didn't disappear. They could eat all they wanted to. And you know what? They were still more when they got done. Just like us. No matter how much you experience of God, no matter how much you get into God, you know, there's more than you have. You can continue just to eat and grow and just feast on it. And you know what? There's more that God has for you. And you know, it produces the exact same thing as it did, as he said, because as it was on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, he said, when that heavenly manna, when Peter went out there and preached the message, he said, it's unto you and to your children and them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so, wherever they went, whoever God called, you know, they had the right, just the same right as everybody else to it. And they could have it, they could feast on it. And they could have all that they wanted. And he said it would produce the exact same thing. The life that he lived. He said, the things that I do, shall you do also. Amen. So if he done it, then it would produce the exact same thing.
Right.
To eat on the word, to eat, and it's available to you to eat, and it'll manifest, and it'll do the exact same thing. So, you know, if it was the same way, if God doesn't change it and he's made the same offer to everyone, that you have the same access to it. And if you eat on the same word and you feast on the same word and you have the same experience and it's the same Holy Ghost that they had in, that was back there. And he said they lost all their shamefulness. He said they lost all their bashfulness. All these things, you know, they became bold. Well, you know, the thing is you don't have to stand around and wonder if God's going to do anything for you. You know, because many times people, you know, it's so amazing. People want to get up and then, you know, we talk about praying for people and they want to pray and they say, well, you know, I'm praying over this and I'm praying over that. Well, you know, that's a great thing to do because, you know, you can't pray enough. But you know, the thing is realize, you know, if God started you on this journey, people are trying, you know, and I don't want to discount anything. I don't want to discourage anybody, but I want you to understand, you know, you can pray through and everybody, you know, they're going to pray through, but there comes a time, you know, you pray through and you hand it over to God. Well, then you know what? You don't go out in the ground at this time and keep digging all the seed up. You know, if you have a wage plant in a garden and everything, you know, you just don't go out there and plant it one day and keep digging it up. Well, let's see what happens. No, you leave it alone.
Amen.
Well, if you're going to give it, if you're going to turn your cares over to God, then quit trying to carry them.
Amen.
Let God do it.
Amen.
But you know, the thing is, I'm not discounting praying, but the thing is, when we pray, then you know what? Prayer requires one thing. There's one thing about praying. You know, the thing is there's, you can't worry about it.
Right.
You can't have faith and worry.
Right.
You can't pray over something and trying to figure it out.
Yeah, right.
Well, you just pray over and give it to God and say, well, Lord, I'm going to turn it over to you. And then you know what? I don't worry about it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to figure it out. You know, because many times the devil wants to get in our minds and he's like, well, how's this going to work? And how's that going to work? And this and that. And you know what? It's like, listen, God has it.
Amen.
I'm not toting this thing anymore.
Right.
You know, he said, come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he said, come and learn of me.
Yeah.
He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, the thing is, many times we get burdened down with things and things of life bother us and they get in our way and everything like that. But you know what? He wants us to know that, you know, if we give it to him, His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You know what? If we ever got the burden of him, then why are we carrying all the burdens of ourselves? Why are we carrying our burdens when he said if we would just give them to him, he's got a burden for us to carry? And, you know, people get so worried and get so wrapped up in living a Christian life and all these things. Well, you know what? If we could just rest on him, then you know what? He's going to carry us all the way. Then there's a place that we can rest in him. That, you know, he said the burden was light.
Right.
Well, then how in the world, if you've got this light burden from him, and people, you know, they get so bound down by things of the world and they, you know, just living a life, I mean, day to day turmoil and everything like that. And people get so wrapped up in these things and then they say, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it from one day to the next. And it's like, you know, I'm just ready to give up. You know, I'm just trying to find a place. You know, I just want to quit. I don't know what else to do. Well, you know, the thing is the problem is you've not taken it to the master. You've not taken it to him and laid it down and just give it to him and say, listen, I'm not carrying this anymore. Lord, you said that I could lay this all on you, that you would carry this.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, sometimes we get to the point where we get sick and tired of being sick and tired of doing these things, and we come to the place where we can lay our burdens down.
Yeah.
And you know, many people, they've gotten into the place, even in a Christian experience, where people just want to try to live the Christian life themselves, and they think they're going to be good enough, and they think they're going to be holy enough, and they think they're going to be righteous enough. But you know what? There's nothing in you that's going to amount to anything, because everything that you have is as filthy rags.
Right.
You're not going to have anything. But you know, the thing is when we get to the place that we can come and we can go before the Lord and we can tell him, Lord, I realize I'm nothing in you without you. Lord, I know that I'm dirty and I'm lost and I'm undone. Then, you know, I can turn it over to him. Then, you know what? Then he can make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. But, you know, until that happens, you're not ever going to change. You know, there's many people, they want to be religious, but you know what? Religious don't get you anywhere. Holy, you're holy, self-holy don't get anywhere. Self-righteous don't get you anywhere. But there's a place that we come that, you know, I don't have my own righteousness. I have his righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin for me. That I can become his righteousness. I can become the righteousness of God. So then, you know what? It's not me. The thing is, you know what? I need to put myself under the blood every day. There's a dying out every single day because, you know, the biggest problem that Aaron Roberts has is Aaron Roberts. I know other people may think it's me, but it's not. It's me. I stand in my own way. I don't have to worry about everybody else getting in my way. I get in my own way. And you and I, we do the same thing. We get in our own way. But you know, there's a place that we can come to that we can unload all these things, and we can go to God and allow Him to be Lord and Savior of our lives. You know, to be a Lord, for Him to be Lord, then He's the one that's in control. He's the one that's calling the shots. He's the one that's leading the way. But you know, the thing is if we don't keep our eyes on what God has called us to, then you know, then we all get everything all mixed up. Everything gets all messed up. You know, when the children of Israel, when God called them out there and told them, He said, I've got a land flowing with milk and honey. I've got a place to carry you to. When they come out of Egypt, and you know, here they are, they didn't own anything. Why? Because the Egyptians owned it all. They didn't even own their own selves. Their children that they had were slaves, and they could do anything they wanted to with them. And you look at all the bondage that they had to face down there, and they didn't have anything. But you know what? They had a promise from God that who they were. They were the children of Abraham. And God had made a promise to Abraham and to all of his seed. But you know what? They sat down there in bondage because they allowed themselves to get wrapped up in a place that they didn't belong. But you know what? When it came time for them to come out, then you know what? They had to cry and they had to beg and plead for a Savior. And when the Lord sent Him, then you know what? Then they wanted to fight Moses. They got out there. And you know, their shoes never wore out. They never got sick. Nothing was against them. God had an answer for them all the way. And then when He gave them this heavenly manna, you know, nobody else had this. But here when they received this manna, when it fell, you know what? They got to the place where it became common to them. It became common to them. And they stood out there and told Moses, "We loathe this light bread." When God is blessing them and giving them miracles and showing all these things, and then they say, "Well, we don't like this. We don't like this. We're not happy." But you know, here it was. God was trying to lead them all the way through. Giving them, showing them. You know, they was not happy. They didn't have faith to believe what God was doing for them. God was not pleased with them. And you know, here they are out there. Well, you know, Egypt don't look so bad now. When Egypt got out of sight, and they seemed to forget all the problems that they had in Egypt, all the things that they had to face in Egypt. You know, many people, they want to get so close to God that they're not under condemnation, but they still want to get close enough to the world where, you know, it still feels good. And you know, there's things in their lives that they don't want to give up, but you know, they want to live close enough to this where, you know, they still have that longing for the things of the world. And they still lean this way long enough. But you know, they want to get close over here where, you know, sometimes when Brother Wade preaches, he just steps on my toes, and you know, he's real hard on me, and you know, things he says, and it just really, I just want to get out from underneath that condemnation. So I'm just going to get over here far enough. But then I'm going to go back over here. Yeah. And then when he starts, Brother Dale's going to say something, and I'm going to ease back over here. And then I'm, and you know, it's so much easier to go this direction than it is trying to go this way. Got to overcome all that. That flesh is hard to deal with sometimes, but you're on a slippery slope. It's like, but you know what? There comes a time when, you know, we need to get past all of that. You know, because, you know, the hour is late and we don't know when things, we need to make sure that we're right. We need to be exactly where we need to be. We need to have everything. You know, because nobody's promised tomorrow. We don't know what's going to take place. None of us are promised tomorrow, and we don't know what's going to take place. But you know, we always have to be ready at every moment. But you know, if God has given all these things to us and He's blessed us with these things, does it just become common to us? Is it just become just like normal things? Well, you know, it's just the same thing that, you know, Wade's going to get up here and he's going to preach the same thing. Brother Dale's going to get up here and preach the same thing. We're going to hear this same thing. Brother Boyd's going to get up here and he's going to sing the same songs. And you know, Brother Don's going to get up here and he's going to read the same scripture on Sunday morning for responsive reading or whatever. You know, it's just like, well, we're just going to do the same thing. We're just going to go through the motions. Well, the problem is if we're just going through the motions, are you looking for God? Do you see God in any of that? Or is it just like, well, we're just here, just... I mean, any dead fish can float downstream, but you know, it takes something with some fight to it, to fight upstream, to fight the waters. You know, I mean, and I'm guilty just like everybody else. You know, somebody said, you want to get anointed preaching, just preach on yourself. Well, you know, sometimes that's what you do. You just preach on yourself. But sometimes, you know, because, you know, I don't have to have somebody get up and look at me. I look in the mirror every day. I know who I am. I don't fool myself. You know, I think I'm okay. I think I'm a pretty good guy. You know, I think I'm doing okay. Well, you know what? If you look in the mirror and you see things within you, you need to look in the scripture. We need to look in God's mirror. We need to look in and see ourselves and not try to coat things over. You know, we need to actually look and see. I don't need somebody to tell me these things. If you're honest with God, God's honest with you. You know, you're not, God doesn't fool you. It's like, you're okay. It's okay. It's okay. I don't know. If y'all know God does that for y'all, y'all let me know. I ain't never had that happen. But I mean, you know, because, you know, sometimes God just brings one word to you and then you realize, you know, that's something for me to straighten out, you know. And sometimes God sends people your way and they just absolutely, with no shadow of doubt, they're there, they just, it's like a cheese grater on your nerves, just like. And you know, and lots of times people, you know, they're just like, you know what? If I wasn't who I was, I'd give them a piece of my mind. And it's like, well, brother and sister, y'all might need to hold on to that piece of mind you got because you don't know how much you got to go around. But you know, sometimes we, and what the problem is sometimes these things happen, and you know what? We don't take a step back and say, you know what? That was for me. God sends somebody my way. And God's going to see how I'm going to react to it. And sometimes like, well, bless God, you're not going to talk to me like that. And sometimes, it's so much easier just to blow up and just get all angry instead of just take a step back, take a deep breath. And think, Lord, are you, you know, even though it hurts your feelings, it steps on your toes. Sometimes it makes you angry. Sometimes it makes you sad. I mean, and it's like, Lord, you know, what can I get out of this? Maybe the presentation wasn't the best, but you know, was it the truth? And you know, and sometimes people, we don't realize, but you know, sometimes somebody may say something that's harsh to us. And you know, they're not meaning to be harsh. And you know, and sometimes, you know, you can get offended by it, and you know, and you'll carry that for the longest time, where you're just offended by what somebody said, and you don't even realize that God's trying to speak to you. You're more interested in licking your wounds and having a pity party than you are saying, you know, that is something for me that I can actually take, and then I can actually benefit from that. You know, and because you know, many times I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, but I just want to say this, you know, because sometimes I feel like that people have like for instance, Brother Wade, that's what I want to get to is I'm gonna preach on Brother Wade tonight, but anyway, you know what, when Brother Wade gets up and he says, you know, everybody sleeps in church. And it's like people don't care that they would just automatically go to sleep. Nobody seems like they want to fight it. And you know, I don't mean to step on anybody's toes, but I'm guilty just like everybody else. I'm human, and you know what? I can get offended by it. And you know, sometimes it's like, you know, the thing is what are you going to do about it? You can take and say, well, you know, just like I was saying, you can take that as a situation where, you know, I can just get upset about it, and I can sit and I can just hold that and let it fester. Or that I can just take that and say, you know what, that was something for me, and you know what, and you know that I can say, listen, because I try not to sleep in church, you know, and sometimes I have closed my eyes and different things, but you know, the thing is, you know, are you, you know, I'm not, you know, like pulling out a pillow or a blanket or anything, you know, but you know, I mean, there's sometimes people just like, you know, they just want to. But you know, I mean, but when those type things happen, do you try to do anything about it? And you know, and I just feel this way because sometimes when things like that happen, when somebody says things to you, you know, it's time to take a step back and look and say, you know, well, Lord, help me with this. You know, and you know, and some people may say, well, you know, they may think, well, you know, well, you're not trying to do anything. Well, you know, it may not look like I'm trying, but you know, the thing is, you know, I've prayed about it. You know, I'm trying to do better. I'm trying, you know, and you know, you got to take that and you got to move forward with that, and you got to put that in the hands of God and try to do something about it. And you know, just like, you know, there's so many times and petty things that take place. And you know, Brother Dale will say, you know, here's these little things that people try to do. And you know, Brother Dale, I don't know how many times he talked about people slamming the doors and slamming the doors and slamming the doors. And you know, and Brother Dale would say, you know, listen, when people are praying, let's keep the noise down. Let's not talk so loud. You know, let's not slam doors. And you know what? And some people, they do whatever they could. You could put automatic door closers on there that would just ease the doors closed, and they were going to slam the door somehow. They'd find one. And it was just like, you know, it's just like, it's something that's inside people. But you know, and you know, I mean, this is like off the subject a little bit. But you know, it's things like that that you know, are we trying to go with God? Are we allowing things to stand in our way? Are we a hindrance to somebody else? Because when we come to church and we allow these things to take place, you know, are we trying to help somebody? Or are we trying to hinder somebody? And you know, the thing is if we could just get into Christ, you know, and you know, that's what the word is for. You know, it's just like when, you know, when John took that book and, you know, he ate the book in Revelation 10, you know, it was sweet in his mouth, but it was bitter in his belly. You know, the word is good, but you know what? Sometimes the word is hard. The word is cutting. And many times we allow things to take place that we don't, you know, and sometimes it takes somebody. It takes a preacher. It takes somebody. It takes your mom and dad. It takes somebody to point things out to you. And you know, sometimes it's like, well, you know, he got me today. And then you know what? And it's like, what, Lord, do I, you know, if that's me, then Lord, let me straighten this up. And then don't think about it anymore the rest of the time until church time. And then, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. And you know, and sometimes, you know, it takes, you know, a mental note. Even if you actually have to write the note yourself, write, physically write a note. And you write it down. And sometimes, you know, it takes, because sometimes you won't think things. But you know, if we get in the Word, and if we read the Word, and we study on the Word, And it's not learning, you know, different, you know, all these different things. But you know, the thing is we begin to see ourselves in here. Then we begin to see where we fall. We begin to see where we're failing. And if we get in the Word and, you know, we begin to eat on, oh man, it's so good. Well, you know what? Sometimes it ain't too good. But you know what? As you begin to eat that Word, you know, because you know, how many have went through a battle, went through a trial, went through a struggle? And you know, you didn't think you was ever going to make it through. You struggled with something, whatever it was, and you battled. And you, how many people, you cried and you prayed and you know, you just done everything you could. I mean, you were seeking God for something, even if it was the baptism of the Holy Ghost or whatever it was in your life, that you battled this thing and you kept battling and you kept battling. Well, then later on, you know, God brought you through, you overcome something, and then you look back at that and you're like, man, that was so great. You know, we don't enjoy the journey going through it, but sometimes when God points us back to that and you think, man, that was so great. Well, you know, that's the way it is. You get in the Word and God will show you. And then it's so great that, you know, I can praise God for what God's brought me from. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be, because I can point back to what I was and I can see the road and I can see what God has delivered me from and what God has brought me to. And then, you know, I can stand there and say, oh, this is so great. This is just like honey in the rock to me, because I can see where God's brought me from. I can see what the old Aaron Roberts used to be, and that old Aaron Roberts is dead. And you know, and I'm still continuing to grow. I still got battles. I still got faults and failures. But you know what? I'm still overcoming every day. I'm still overcoming every day. There's still a greater thing that's coming. And you know, we can begin to feed on that and we begin to see those things. Well, then all of a sudden we see the growth taking place. Well, you know, as we go through these battles and whatever comes our way, then you know what? God is leading us. God is showing us there's grace for us to overcome. Well, you know, the thing is if you, the grace is only there if you want it. The grace is only there for you to overcome if you want it. But the thing is you've got to have the desire and you've got to come to Him, because He's going to carry you the way. But you know what? You've got to receive it. And if it, and so is it, you know, is it just something that's become common to us? Are we just going through the motions? Or is there something that we see, hey, I really caught a spiritual vision that I see where I need to be? Because you know what the thing is we don't have much longer. And you know what? I want to be exactly where God has called me to be. I want to be on the front lines. I don't want to be in the back somewhere. I want to be fighting the good fight. I want to be right where God wants me to be. I want to be on fire. I don't want to be cold. I don't want to be lukewarm, but I want to be on fire for God doing His will. I want to be found when He comes doing His will. I want to be called a good and faithful servant. Why? Because I've stood in the post of duty and done the things that God wanted me to do. I don't want to be called in the wrong place. The thing is God's got to bring you to the place that you've got to get to the place where God wants you to be. You know, God's got a place for you to be, and that's where you need to be. And I was thinking, you know, just as one of my favorite stories in the scripture, it's about food also. I know y'all, I got plenty of the Bible's full of it. It's all about eating. It's good. But you know, one of my favorite scriptures in the scripture, and is in 1 Kings, where Elijah, you know, God sent Elijah out and He told Ahab and them, He said, it's not going to rain till I call for it. He said, there won't even be dew. Right. But you know, God called him to the brook at Cherith and set him down there. And you know, it was just him and the ravens by that brook. And the ravens fed him, and he sat there beside that brook. And you know, God had a place for his prophet to be, to feed. But you know what was so amazing during that time? He's sitting there alone with God. And you know what was going on during that time? The scripture tells us, Brother Bram talks about it. You know, there was a widow woman. And you know, she was out there and she was going through the last bit of her meal and the last bit of her oil. And there was the prophet over there next to that brook, and he was resting, relaxing, getting fed, and just relaxing and enjoying the presence of the Lord. And the scripture tells us, he said, I've prepared a widow woman that she's going to feed you. It's like, well, you know what? He's doing pretty good sitting beside the brook there with the ravens feeding him. I don't know why he needs that woman. That widow woman's over there worried and struggling and seeing her son being malnourished and looks out there every single day and sees that famine and seeing everything dry up. And you know, she couldn't see anything good in all of that. But you know what? God already had a way made for her.
Right.
And a prophet sat over there in supernatural feasting. And that woman sitting there. And all of that time when the brook dried up, you know, after he had been through all of that, then he come over to that widow woman. And she got down to her very last bit. And got down to where she had nothing. And he went to her and he said, bring me something to drink in a famine. And he said, oh, wait, bring me a little cake. Can you bring me something to eat? In the midst of a famine, he said, can you bring me? A stranger. Scripture never tells us she knew who he was. But will you give of all that you have?
Oh, yeah.
Facing life and death.
That's right. Right.
And she said, we've got two little sticks here. And she said, we're getting ready to make these little cakes for me and my son, and we're going to die. And he said, go do what you're going to do. But he said, make me a little cake first. And you think about that. You know, when you've got nothing left. And then she said, I'm going to make this little cake and give you water in the midst of this famine. In this condition that we're in. And when she decided that she was going to give of her necessity, it wasn't of her abundance. It's when she had nothing else to give. She gave all that she had to give. But she gave to him first. And when she done that, the prophet told her, said, listen, for the rest of the time of this famine, said you'll never run out of meal.
Right.
You'll never run out of oil.
Right.
And you know, she made that little cake and gave him that little bit of water out of her necessity, out of her want, she gave to him. But then God come on the scene and blessed her. And so, you know, here he was on the prophet on the backside getting this supernatural feeding. But you know what? She and herself, somehow she knew the Lord spoke to her or whatever, but she gave of what she had. When she gave all that she had. You know, when Jesus speaks to the widow woman, given the mites, you know, and they said, well, you know, why, you know, listen. Everybody has to give. And, you know, and he said, she'll be honored for giving out of her lack. You know, even when Brother Brown talked about Sister Hattie Wright giving, putting money toward the church, and you know, he was wanting to give her money back to her. But yet, and that, you know, God told him, you know, don't do that. Don't take away Sister Hattie's blessing. She sowed that. When you look, I mean, they was poor as poor can be. But she wanted to serve God. And she gave out of her lack. She gave to him. She gave to the church. And then when Brother Branham came to her, he began to speak to her about the things, about the squirrels and the different things, you know, and he began to speak, and that's when Sister Hattie said, you know, that's nothing but the truth, Brother Branham. When she began to speak, then God turned around and said, give her what she asked for. And when we give out of the abundance. But the thing is do we give our all? You know, many times people can give other talents. Well, you know, it's not a struggle for some people to do things, but do we give our all? Is it out of all that you have, do you give of that? When we give all to God, God don't want 99 and a half. He don't want 99 and 9/10. He wants all. Do we give our all to Him? Because if we give our all to Him, then you know what? He said, because there is a blessing in that. Amen. If you're going to feed on the Word of God, you're going to feed on the things of God, then you know what? You have to give up. Right. Have we given our all to God because He gave His all for us? Is our all, as the song says, is our all on the altar tonight? Have you given? We can feed on, and God has a lot for us, but you know, as I believe it was Moody, I believe it was, he said, God never turns us away empty. Unless we're full of ourselves. If we've not emptied ourselves out, then you know what? God can only do so much. But do we empty all ourselves out because we want to receive from what God has for us? Let's feed on this manna that God has given us. Let's not look at it as this light bread. Let's not look at it as just something common. But let's feed on this. Let's feed on this word. Let's lay every side, every weight and everything that's easily besets us. And let's run this race and let's feed on this word. Let's do all, let's be found in what God wants us to do. You know, and I want to share one other thing before I close. And you know, when the Syrophoenician woman was there and you know, she come to Jesus and she had a need. The Syrophoenician woman come, and you know, she called him Son of David, and he didn't answer. He, you know, she was a dog. He didn't have nothing to do with her. But when she said Lord, he realized that he was her Lord. And you know, she had a child that needed a touch, and he was like, you know, we don't give our bread to the dogs. You know, and she said, true Lord. He said, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And do you know what? You're so much better than that. Amen. You don't have to eat crumbs. Amen. There's no crumbs at God's table for you. There's more than you can eat. Because you know, the more you desire, the more He gives. He has more, and He desires to give you more than you could ever think. Because He said, you know, if we would open up, you know, that He would open up the windows of heaven, and if we would just try Him. And everybody's like, well, you know, I pay my tithes and I pay these things, but you know what? Do we pay with our time? Do we pay with, and many times people's like, well, you know, I don't spend all my time in the prayer closet. I don't put all my time in this. But you know, the thing is do we step back and say, what is it that God would have us do? You know what? There's time to read the Bible. There's time to pray, but you know, there's time to sit down and pray for each other. And you know, some of the best things that's happened to me in my life is when somebody's picked up the phone or sent me a text. You know, and sometimes people don't even realize, you know, you think, well, it's just quick, you know, but I tell you what, sometimes somebody I've had times people just send me something and it just, I mean, a scripture verse. And you know what? It'll change, it'll revolutionize everything that you, and you think, well, that's just simple, brother. But you know what? God's in the simple things. You know, sometimes you pick up the phone and you call somebody, hey, I'm just praying for you. I don't know what your need is, brother or sister. I don't know what you're going through, but you know, I want you to know I'm praying for you. I've been thinking about you. You wake up in the middle of the night and you pray for each one. And you know, and you think, well, I always try to remember what Brother Dale said. You know, when the Lord wakes you up in the middle of the night, you know, well, Lord, are you trying to talk to me? You know, what would you have me to say? Well, I've got a little player beside my bed that plays Brother Branham. And, you know, I wish I could count the times that I woke up in the middle of the night and I sit there and I think, Lord, are you trying to talk to me? And about that time, Brother Branham starts talking. And all of a sudden, Brother Branham will say something. And it's like, you know what? I've never heard that before. And it's like, man, it's just so clear. And it's just like, wow, that's good. I got to write that. I got to remember that, you know. And it's just like, all of a sudden, Brother Branham will say something or, you know, he'll be telling a story and all of a sudden something will click and man, it's like, man, that is so good. And it's like, you've never seen that before. You know, and it's like, man, I wish I could just, I want that. I got to remember that, you know, and it's just so good. And it's the same way. Let the Lord speak to you. Let's feed on the word. God has given it to us. And he wants us to feed on it. Let's stand to our feet this evening. God bless you tonight. God as the song says, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. And you know, we don't have to go anywhere. He's with us. All the time. And it's always spread before us. And you know, it's whenever you make time for it. He's there for us to feed if we make time for him. Amen.
Let's go ahead and sing Coming Down.
Amen.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, it's so sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the master called it, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry call of now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the master called on them, come and dine. They have found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Oh, come and dine, the master called it, come and dine. He may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry bowl of now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight. All the saints and spotless white. And with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the master called it, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine, come and dine. come and dine. The master called it, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed
Jesus,
the multitudes, turned the water into wine. To the hungry call,
Lord, we
down.
Know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Jesus has
Lord,
a table spread
the
where
meet
the saints
one of these
are fed.
Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, that you give us a desire to come, Lord, that you call us, you draw us to you, Lord. Lord, that when we have a need, Lord, not to run away, not to hide, Lord, but we come and bring it before you. Lord, that we can lay our burdens down, Lord Jesus, that you will carry them. Lord, that all that we have need of is in you, Lord. We just look to you, and we know that you'll meet it, Lord, because you said you would. And Lord, we commit it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. Amen.
To the hungry calling now, coming down. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, it will be a glorious sight. All the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Oh, come and dine, the master called it, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry call of now, come and dine.
Amen. Well, God bless you tonight as we get ready to go. Anything? What do you say? All righty. Remember Brother Wade? Well, we'll be praying for you, brother. Lord bless y'all. Y'all be safe. Anything else, brother? All righty. Well, Lord bless y'all tonight. And appreciate y'all, each one, and looking forward to Sunday. Brother Dale will be ministering, and Brother Bob will be ministering, so we're looking forward to that. And Brother Bob's going to give us his birthday present.
Amen.
It's not us giving him one. It's his birthday, so he's going to give us one. So, amen. We're looking forward to that. So, and we want to mention each one that's watching in, all the ones that will be watching later also, different ones. But we appreciate you and we love y'all. And
amen.
We certainly remember y'all in prayer, all the different ones. And all the ones on the list and the different ones that have watched in and everything. And we just appreciate each one of you. So before we go tonight, we're just going to ask Brother Ball, if you don't mind, dismiss us in prayer, brother. Amen. God bless you tonight. Dismissed.
I have decided.